This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Carmel Bell, who's the author of When All Else Fails, A Journey into the Heart with Medical Intuition and Metatronic Energy. Carmel is kind enough to speak to us from Australia, where it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're happy she's able to join us. She is a self-taught medical intuitive, being guided by Metatron energy, and is bringing this energy in at this time to help us with our healing. She is also the president of the Australian Medical Intuitives Association and founder and principal of the College of Medical Intuition and a board member of the International Association of Medical Intuitives. Thanks so much, Carmel, for getting up at 3 in the morning. I appreciate that.
My pleasure, Susan. I'm used to it, actually. When I'm talking to somebody in America, you've got to get up very early in the morning.
Right. That's really true. Your story is quite compelling in terms of, I guess, really even a personal sacrifice that you decided to make within your own script for this lifetime in order to communicate directly with Metatron, which required a series of near-death experiences to do so. Would you like to share with our audience how this information came to you in the place between life and death?
Yeah, certainly. Well, really, my story started when I was 4 years of age, and I burnt to death, which sounds like a really terrible thing, but I managed to set myself on fire and ran screaming, and my father found me, and while he was rescuing me, I actually died, and when I was dead, I found myself in heaven having the first of my near-death experiences, and, you know, I went down through the tunnel and into the light, and then I spent some time talking to the Archangel Metatron, who told me that he wanted me to become a medical intuitive, although those weren't his words, because that description of my profession really is a fairly modern description. Mm-hmm. And he told me that he'd like me to be a medical intuitive, and he would like me to use his energy to help me, and told me too that I would actually have a helpmate in somebody by the name of Bernie. So, mm-hmm. which actually started me off on a very interesting journey looking for the right Bernie. But so I came back from there knowing that I could do things. I found that I was able to see energy around people and understand energy and so forth. And it was really very difficult, as you can imagine, being a four-year-old child and mm-hmm. being able to see something that essentially nobody else could see. And really not wanting to be considered quite mad, I learned very early on not to talk to people about this, but I would react towards people based on what I could see, and sometimes if it became compelling, like if I could see that they were really ill, I was compelled to say something. So it was actually quite a hard time, and my parents were terrific, and you know that they were very accepting. But you know, the story goes on from there. You know, I wanted to live my own life. I wanted to do my own thing, but I was really drawn to using this energy that I could feel and trying to help people with what I could see around them. And I found myself at around, I think about 17, 18 years of age, having another near-death experience in surgery when my heart stopped. And again, Metatron asked me to do this, to pass this energy on, and that he would help me. And then again, the same thing happened at 29 when I was feeling quite despondent and very lost, had more surgery, and again, I had my heart stopped in surgery, and I had another near-death experience, and on I went again. I thought, oh, well, this is the way of my life, and from that point on, from the third experience, I basically gave in and thought, oh, well, this is what I am. I'm a medical intuitive, and this is what I'm meant to do. So I didn't think terribly more about that until just recently, you know, nearly, you know, probably about 2.5 years ago, because it was sometime before I died, I was told that I had done what I was here to do and that I had passed this energy on and that I was going to die, that my heart was going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I would scan my body, and there's nothing wrong with my heart, and I'm thinking, this is really strange. So my husband, who is Bernie, I met the right Bernie and married him.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, Bernie, is an ambulance paramedic. And I said to him, you know, there's something wrong with my heart. I'm going to die. I don't know when, and I can find nothing wrong with my heart. And he sort of did, you know, check my blood pressure and listen to my heart. And he said, everything, you know, seems fine. So I went to my doctor, and I told her, you know, this is what's going to happen. I can't find anything wrong with me. So she put a 24-hour monitor on me to see if there was anything wrong, and all the test results that she did came back quite normal. And so she said, well, there's nothing that we can find that's wrong with you, so good luck. But February the 15th in 2009, in the middle of the night, for no known reason, my heart stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm lying in bed next to my husband when my heart stopped, and I woke up. I thought that I, you know, woke up, I suddenly became aware that I wasn't in my bed, and I'm standing next to my bed, and I looked down, and there was my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I was dead. So I began to wake my husband up, or trying to wake my husband up, and of course he went through all the ambulance protocols and so forth, but in the end I was medically recorded in my, you know, in my medical files. I was recorded as being dead for 47 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And had this absolutely fantastic near-death experience in, you know, during that time. So while the ambulance was, the ambulance paramedics were giving me CPR and adrenaline shots and the electric shocks and so forth, I was flitting in between heaven and earth and talking to the Archangel Metatron and to a person who said that they were Jesus, and my different, you know, different relatives of mine, and even a dog that I had really loved was there.
Hmm.
So in essence, that's basically what happened through these series of near-death experiences bringing me up to now.
Well, it's an interesting concept, but one I've been introduced to recently, that your soul can evidently send a shutdown signal. And when it does, everything just shuts down and you die.
Mm.
Kind of with nothing other than your heart stopping, and that'll shut everything down pretty quick. I had a recent experience in my personal life where I was told that a family member who died had a similar thing happen. You know, when we're doing the medical intuitive work, as you know, one of the things that we try to find out when people have diseases and especially life-threatening diseases is when their death date is, because we all have a death date that is final, and then we have opportunities for death dates before that we either choose to stay or go. So this particular...
I hadn't heard of that. The soul shot, but that makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's important to know somebody's death date, because if they choose cancer to go out with, and they're supposed to go out, and they're scheduled to go out, and that's in divine order, then you should just help them go out. And in your book, you talk about some people who went ahead and went out without, you know, making shifts, and so if they choose not to make the shift, maybe they're not supposed to, and they go on out, and that's in divine order.
Well,
and all we can
right.
do is
yes.
just make that passing more... more comfortable for them and for the people around them.
Yeah.
Anyway,
some people just think that you've died.
Right. I had a family member die recently, and she went out before her death date, and I gathered information clairvoyantly that she had had a shutdown signal similar to what you had, which is interesting.
Right.
So that's always a new concept to me that
can actually just
be shut down. And you know, I was told then that near death experience. I'm not SIDS. Sudden infant death syndrome is like that.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
That it's not really
physiological.
It's simply a shutdown signal when the soul decides not to come in for some reason.
Mm.
Or not to stay for some reason.
That sort of makes sense too with that. And that was the interesting thing with this near death experience for me personally, is having had the ones before, this fourth experience was a vastly different experience to the other three, and they told me in heaven that that I had done what I was meant to do and that my time was up, and I actually negotiated with them to come back to Earth and to continue living my life, and they told me that my life would be different and it would be more difficult than I imagined to come back in, because essentially there would be no place for me, like I had done my destiny, so it was really up to me to choose what direction I was going to take, which sounds like a really nice thing, but Susan, I tell you, it actually is a very difficult thing to be involved in a world where you continue to do what you want to do, such as me with medical intuition, but also not feeling that same drive to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we all have these windows of opportunity where we can leave. I mean, and some people say they're every 7 years, or that's, they're different degrees. But one thing we have to be very careful of, and I'm sure you've had clients that have done this, if you really want to leave and you put that out because thoughts are, energy, and they create. Mm. If you're near one of these windows where you can leave, you can attract to yourself a fatal car wreck or, whatever. I mean, something quite dramatic as an exit point. But I think the easier thing to do is just to know that we are here for a set number of years and that you do have a death date. And then, like what you did, is possible, and that's rewriting your contract.
Mm.
A lot of times it has to be done in the higher realms. I mean, like you did,
Well, I'd imagine. I don't think it's something that you could really do while you're here and the consciousness.
In the third dimension, people are allowed to do that because we have choice, and your book, Where Else Fails, is really a lot about choice. And what I really love about your book is with all of the different examples that you give, each of us has a choice. We can't choose what happens to us in this life because that's kind of in our contract, the different things that happen to us, but we can choose how we respond to it, and that's a central message in your book.
Yeah, that is a very big thing. It's a key theme that I have found in everybody that I've worked with, is that the people who are the most unwell and who suffer are those who actually choose to carry forward with them the things that have made them unwell, and those that recover and do really well in that recovery are those who actually choose to see whatever has happened in a less personal way, and are prepared to let go of it and say, oh well, look, that's a bad thing, but I don't have to feel angry, or I don't have to feel distressed. And it's not that they shouldn't feel angry or distressed, but they shouldn't hang on to it and carry it forward. And some people hold these feelings, even if it's not a negative feeling. Sometimes it's, oh, people used to love me and they don't love me anymore. But they hold it to them as if it were a child that they're terrified to let go of. And there's no room for anything else. They can't walk free unencumbered. and they miss opportunity and chance, and then they wonder why, you know. And because the body is such a beautiful cellular structure, it reacts very quickly to these things that they're holding on to, and thus it becomes unwell. That's where I think we as medical intuitives are really fantastic. You know, you stand back, you look at it, and say, this is the signal that you are reacting to. This is the creator that you've got in there. Is that what you really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are there to give people choice, to point out to them that, you know, it is a very simple thing to do, to make a choice to feel a different way. Of course, because it is so simple and because it is so self-directed, it's also equally as frightening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're very used to nowadays, I think, to being told how we're going to respond and how we're going to feel and how something's going to affect us. You know, people will say to you, this has happened, you must be mad, as a very classic example.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of letting us say, well, this event has happened in my life and, you know, it actually worked out for the best, or it didn't work out so well, or I've learnt from that. We're not really encouraged to be responsible. And that's what I hope to impart in When All Else Fails, is that you actually can. You have a choice about how you feel. You can't, like you said, you know, we can't change our destiny. You can't stop that car from coming down the road and hitting you if that is part of your path.
Mm-hmm, right.
But you can decide how you're going to respond to it. You know, are you going to see that you're a victim, or are you going to see that bad things happen to good people? Now what are you going to make out of it?
And you can also, because I've experienced this myself, you can also shift into another vibratory realm in which the car goes through you and doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And more people are coming to that realization that this third dimensional reality we're in is not as solid as we think. And,
no.
When people deliberately mean us harm in this dimension, it's not as solid, so therefore there are things that you can do to dodge certain things that you might think you can't dodge. And that is a realization with what I'm going through. I wrote a book called The Naked Truth About Breast Implants. You know, I'm a plastic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people in Australia, by the way, who are sick from their breast implants. I hear from them frequently. And your book talks a lot about physical problems resulting from mental, emotional, and spiritual things. But sometimes physical things are causing physical problems, you know, like breast implants.
I try to look at both problems.
Somebody's toxic, if somebody's been exposed to chemicals or like the chemicals leaking out of silicone or the mold biotoxins that are in saline implants, you got to have surgery. I mean, you know, you got to get them out and remove the offending toxin and then do the detox and the healing. And the energy is very good to help heal, but you know, if there's a physical problem, if you've got a knife in your gut, you've got to remove the knife, you know.
Absolutely, you do. But what I also look at, I'll say, okay, there's a knife in your back, we've got to take that knife out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hadn't been mentally or emotionally there, you wouldn't have been in that spot to have the knife in your back in the first place.
Yeah, and you can get another knife in your back if you don't fix that.
That's right, yeah. So I try to look from both points of view. I look at what's going on medically, which is, you know, when people sit in session with me, I'll go through their body, much like an MRI, and I'll look at the muscles and the cells and the blood and, you know, organ by organ and so forth, as well as telling them why and talking to them about why this particular point is weak. So, Matthew, I believe, you know, we live in these... we live in different dimensions as well, not just the three that we can actually see. And if we don't have the accompanying emotional distress that has created a weakness, then these illnesses or these accidents and so forth will actually pass us by. You know, it's a bit like when you're cutting up vegetables and you drop the knife and it hits the floor and goes in between your toes rather than through your foot.
Right.
Yeah. So people can actually choose, if they get themselves in that right vibratory state, to not have that accident.
Mm. Well, I think we're entering a time, and maybe this is why you chose to stay during this time period, where it's pretty exciting to be in the third dimension, because things are shifting so rapidly interdimensionally.
Mm.
You know, I think that that's part of, we need to rewrite spiritual medicine, because things are changing.
Yeah, well, a lot of our spiritual knowledge and lore and so forth has been passed down to us from centuries and centuries ago, and because it's very hard to look at scientifically or to define, there's been very little research, solid research actually done into it. But I think more and more of that is happening as, you know, more and more people like me pop up around the world, and more people find themselves. You know, I've noticed recently that there has been quite a spate of people who have died and who have actually, or are claiming, miraculous intervention to their survival, you know, which has actually been quite interesting. There was a woman just, I think, a few weeks ago, actually, that a minister, I forget which religious minister he was, she had a cardiac arrest on a bus in Egypt, and this man prayed over her after a doctor said she's dead, and she was, you know, in front of a bus full of people, and with a medical doctor there, was restored to life. So, you know, she fortunately wasn't dead for terribly long, I think about 15 minutes maximum, but still it was an interesting journey that she took, and it was interesting that the popular press chose to print it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's a lot more stuff in the movies and in the books, and I interviewed Dr. Atwater on her big book of near-death experiences, where she interviewed 4,000 people. That's quite
She's a fascinating lady, PMH.
She is.
She's a very, very generous spirit, and certainly one of the forerunners into the near-death experience phenomena. I know when I returned back to Earth, this time in particular, I spent a lot of time talking to PMH, just trying to understand all the different things and emotions that I was going through, because you find with near-death experiences, it can become very disorientating and very intense, and the vast majority of people not having experienced that don't have any point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can look at you and say, oh, that's a normal stage. Whereas PMH, having interviewed so many people, can actually say that. She'll say, oh, you know, that's quite normal.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and Raymond Moody doesn't live too far from here. Alabama, yeah. He's been on the radio show, too. So the first doctor to coin the term near-death experience.
Yeah, that's right. He was. Yeah. Well done for you to talk to him. He would be a fascinating man indeed, I think.
Yeah.
He had lots of very, very deep insights and so forth. And, of course, I think once you realize it, you know, realize it as a truth rather than as something that you read about, it can tend to really alter your life.
Well, I think right now we're in a time frame, more so than, you know, when you and I were probably about similar ages. When we were younger, not a lot of people did communication with the higher realms other than through trance channeling, like Edgar Cayce. And now, because things are different energetically, even people like some of my anesthesiologists are having spiritual experiences, okay? People all over the place are having, and you know how important it is for people to have the experience. experience. You can read all the books in the world, but nothing is going to take the place of you actually having the experience of any of these things, be it near-death experience, be it past life regression, be it knowing that an accident's going to happen right in front of you, seeing it before it does and then having it happen. All of these things are experiential.
And they are.
I think that the energy right now is such that people all over the place are waking up and experiencing a different, a lighter reality, a more loving and compassionate and less harsh world because of the energy.
Yeah, I think so. I think these altered experiences actually give them a greater insight. They can see how actually powerful they are and how we really do create our own reality and how, you know, just the way that we choose to, you know, to think about something and respond differently to a situation will make a big difference. You know, there's more people seem to be experimenting with, say, lucid dreaming even at the moment, you know, where they're choosing to actually guide their dreams. So even in that downtime of sleep, where traditionally we tend to view sleep as something that happens and we discard it, now people are starting to realize that this is actually a time where you can shift into an altered dimension and be more directive in your life. You know, and I find that is an interesting phenomenon that's going forward. Whereas, you know, when we were children, Susan, remember probably the people who had occult experiences as such were relegated into paganism and all that sort of scary place. And nowadays, it's
evil.
into the evil place. Yeah. Nowadays, it's much more normal. You know, your regular housewife and or mechanic or whatever can say, oh, you know, I hear voices. And we don't automatically assume that they've got a mental illness.
A lot of people are hearing voices now that never thought they'd hear voices and are wondering what the heck is going on. Because, you know, the third dimension is so close to the fourth dimension right now. Well, let me tell you something that's happening with me, and you can kind of give me your read on it. As I said, I wrote this book, The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, which is kind of a whistleblower book. And even though I have Allergan implants in me, I have saline implants in me, and I put them in other people with the correct informed consent, I tried to write a book that was helping a great number of women, probably over 100,000, maybe even more, women who are sick from their implants. The silicone is making them sick from chemicals and depressed immune system, and the saline, once they get infected with mold, cause that problem. And then some patients just can't take silicone of any form, and they get an autoimmune disease. It's well known. It's in the medical literature. So I wrote a book, very well referenced in the peer-reviewed literature, that is just basically not accepted by, you know, the powers that be because of the economic implications. And I'm just simply trying to help the women who are sick. But since I wrote the book, I've had a number of interesting things happen. Like my house has been broken into 4 times. I've had bugs put on my computer and my phone. My office has been broken into, and I actually saw somebody put something on my car one night. So obviously I'm under surveillance, and I believe these people intend me harm. Now, I could go into victimhood, right? I could go into, gee, here I am trying to help people, and all I'm doing is getting becoming a victim, right? But no. I think that I'm at my point of spiritual development where I have to accept responsibility for the entire thing, including what they're doing, and look on this as a challenge to increase my awareness of multidimensional reality because we're not stuck in the third dimension.
No, that's true. We're not stuck. And, you know, your best way through this is actually to see the responsibility of you in there. And, you know, you change your vibrationary signal, they will have to change in response to that. You know, if you choose not to be a victim in this, they will eventually stop trying to, you know, they will see that it actually doesn't work. You know, it's...
Yeah. Or maybe I'll choose to figure out a way to link it back to the company and make them responsible for what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Turn it around.
I hope that they're responsible.
Well, they're listening to this conversation right now, so. But in any way, whatever your circumstance is in life, you created it at a higher level, not consciously,
yes.
not in this dimension, but you created it, you had a soul contract for that to happen so that
mm-hmm.
you could learn from it.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, that soul contract also gives you choice where you can actually choose to go into illness and the victimhood, or you can actually choose to break free from it. And I think that that's one of the messages that Metatron wanted me to bring forward, is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not as simple or as finite as saying you are going to end up with this illness and this is going to happen. It's, this illness is a possibility. It is in your path, but you can choose to negate that. You can choose
mm-hmm.
to move around that. You can choose to find the physical cause and the emotional cause with your experiences and grow from that. And I've seen people, you know, in my career who have, you know, used that knowledge and have done phenomenally well. I mean, I do know of one man over here who was given by his oncologist less than 2 weeks to live, and the a huge local paper, you know, like a big national paper in Australia, ran a story on him because he'd made his own coffin and all sorts of stuff. Now, that was about nearly 20 years ago
mm-hmm.
when he was given 2 weeks to live. And he, a deeply a spiritual man, and he used the knowledge that he had to actually turn this illness around. He actually had celiac disease.
Mm-hmm.
And when we discovered that he was a celiac, he removed the wheat and gluten from his diet, but more to the point, he started to work on the anger that he was feeling and the discontent
mm-hmm.
that he was feeling in his life. So he got rid of the physical cause and
right.
also dealt with the emotional cause, and said 20 years later, is still alive and working, as a matter of fact. Now, he's in his 80s and he's still working,
mm-hmm.
but I think he's doing phenomenally well.
Well, we have a meditation group that meets on Sundays, and lately Metatron has been coming in and teaching through the group with some sacred geometry things that are very, very good for protection.
Mm-hmm.
The sacred Metatron cube. You
yeah.
may be familiar with that.
Mm.
So,
yeah, it's very powerful. Metatron is an incredibly powerful angel, and Metatron's cube is a very protective symbol. That's fantastic.
Is.
Lucky you.
Well, you know, I think that Metatron has shown up, fairly recently in the last couple of months,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's no accident that I'm interviewing you on the radio show now. It's
yeah. Well, it's amazing how many people have contacted me since reading my book and have been saying to me, you know, since they've read the book, that Metatron is now coming through to them. And, of course, I describe how they can call this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, why don't you do that to our audience? Because I was doing it when I was reading the book, and it was really quite great. I loved it.
Right. Describe the how the energy feels to them,
mm-hmm.
you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah,
hold
sure.
out your hand and...
Yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely. I always call it on to the right hand because energy moves from the right to the left. So if you call Metatronic energy on to the right hand, if you want to use it on anybody else, it won't actually go through your body. We don't need it to cycle through our body. We just need to feel it, to know it's there. So if your audience would, anybody in your audience would like to actually hold out their right hand and just quietly sit for a few moments, it doesn't take long, and then what I would like them to say in their mind or their intention is for Metatronic energy to find them, because most of the energy that we use on this earth is a dense bioenergy, and it's absolutely fantastic, but it feels quite different to Metatronic energy. Metatronic energy feels very light, very sparkly. I describe it as a champagne energy. So you have the right hand being held out, and audience members just focus on Metatron, keep the thought of Metatron in your head, and then in your mind I would like you to see or to feel or to imagine, if that's what you're comfortable with, that there is a beam of energy coming from the universe that is like a very light silvery colour with sparkles through it, and that's just going to gently touch your hand. And they should feel it, like a little tingling that will get stronger and stronger the more that they let it run. And it really is that simple. But because it's so fine, it's quite difficult to find for a lot of people. And because it's not a heavy energy that blasts you, people will tend to miss it. But now I can feel it running on my hand now, and it kind of feels, you know, sort of goopy, really. I can feel that there's an increasing volume, and I can make that into a ball of energy and just allow myself to play. Now, they would want to, when they feel this energy hitting their hand, they can just pop it straight into the crown chakra or to wherever in their body they are actually feeling, you know, any level of discomfort or, you know, a bit low in energy. Just pop it in or just let it cycle through their left hand, and it will go through the body in a very general kind of wash. It only takes a few minutes. So you've been playing with the energy since reading my book, have you, Susan?
Yeah, I have, because I've got some energetic attacks against me, so I decided to fight it with energy.
Yeah. Well, the thing with energetic attacks is even if they can't get through to you personally, what they will do is weaken your resistance so that other things can get through. And I think that's the real danger.
It has to do with the immune system.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I have people who are familiar with that and can measure it, which is important, you know, measure the thing before all of a sudden you're deathly ill.
Right.
Yeah, so the Metatronic energy is a good way to counter that, I think.
Well, Metatronic energy is really good, and that has been, you know, what has been sort of signaling me or showing up in me is that, you know, your lymphatic system is actually where this has started, and it's obviously traveling through, you know, these attacks traveling through your body on that level. So if you've got people who are helping you with that, that's really terrific. That's good.
Now, in your book, you go through the different things with the chakra system and how, with medical intuition. I've had Carolyn Mace on the show, both my radio and my TV show, so I've met her in person. Mm-hmm. And Carolyn's not really a healer like you are with the Metatronic energy. She is more a diagnostician, but you both use the chakra system as a reference point for analyzing the energy body. Would you like to just summarize that a little bit for our listening audience?
Okay, well, there are seven major chakras that run through the human or through any, in fact, animal bodies are exactly the same. But starting with the base chakra in between the legs and finishing with the crown, there are seven points that we look at. And these chakras hold the information to do with different syndromes. For instance, the base chakra holds issues that have to do with family and loyalty and group clusters. And because it sits on the base, it's looking after, so the skeletal system in the body. And then you go into the sacral chakra, which sits above the pubis bone, and that relates to issues to do with sexuality, money, power, things that are very, very personal to human beings. So anything that would conflict with that, for instance, somebody loses their job, for instance, so they take a pay cut, that information is going to download into the sacral chakra. So a person who's had something like that happen to them might find not only did they lose their job, but now they've got a sore lower back. You know? Or perhaps they start to have, if it's a woman, they might have some period dysfunction. So it really is a very neat and orderly system. It's not. A lot of people would think that what happens to our bodies is quite random, but it actually isn't. The different area will tell us the kind of emotional issues the person is dealing with. So for the sake of that sacral chakra, somebody might come along and say, look, I've got a sore lower back and I really don't know what's going on. And because that's happening in their body, a medical intuitive such as myself will say, that's happening in your body because you're dealing with, you know, issues on this level, so let's have a look what's happened in your job or in your family or, you know, in your sex life and so forth. So we can narrow it down. And that basically ends up giving them a tool. So instead of just having to take, you know, a medicine or get a massage or whatever, they can actually work on this issue from more angles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it travels all the way through the body. Each chakra, each of the major chakras also rules part of the endocrine system. So everything comes into play. You know, and basically
so
that is...
I'm sorry, are you able to do readings over the phone or do you have to have people in person?
No, I do readings over the phone for people quite frequently.
If I give you permission, would you like to do a quick demonstration for the listening audience? I can give you permission and then you can read whatever disbalances I have currently.
Well, we can do, it takes, you know, probably far longer than what we've actually got because, you know, we talk, but, you know, sure, we can do a quick
just
demonstration.
Just a quick thing,
yeah.
Just to see how you work, and then we can give your contact information.
Yeah. Well, basically, you know, I said as we've been talking, I've been sitting and you know, looking at you with that, you know, because for me to do what I do requires me taking the history and watching your body and watching which chakras move in response. So I would start by asking, you know, like about your family relationships, for instance, to bring in the base chakra. So it'd be like, how's your mother, how's your father, brothers and sisters, and how's the work and so forth. And we're not looking for information. We're looking for the response in your body, you know. And when we've been talking, I've been looking at you, probably the thing that has been standing out the most has been around the breast area, which, you know, I kind of expected and ignored because you said you've got implants in there. And then looking at the lymphatic system, I can see that there is actually a challenge on the lymphatic system. So something that you have in your body is actually leaking through there. And
You know what that is. Can you recognize it?
Sorry?
Can you recognize what it is? What's it feel
no,
like?
No, I hadn't looked at as to what it actually was.
Yeah, you're
I just
absolutely
looked.
Correct.
Yeah. So... You know,
I had silicone leak, 30 grams.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
So it's not currently leaking, but it's in my lymphatic system.
Yeah, that's right. And that's where it looked like it, but it looks like it's, you know, it's contained, but the lymphatic system is being challenged, which leaves you open to all other kinds of malfunctions in your body.
Right, exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
It affects the immune system.
That's right, yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
If
the implant companies are listening, you have it from a medical intuitive that silicone leaking out of breast implants does affect your general health.
Oh, it certainly does. Yeah.
Another verification.
Like they made it, really.
Yeah, the implant companies are denying that there's any systemic effects whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
They're still denying
it. But
yet
I remove lymph nodes that are full of silicone. See lymphatic channels that are swollen 20 times their size with silicone. And these patients have an increased risk of cancer in the peer-reviewed literature. You know, come on. And also a risk of fibromyalgia, which is chemical and biotoxicity, especially chemical toxicity. So, you know, come on. You know, you can't just let this stuff leak into the body. And injecting this stuff in the body is illegal.
Yeah.
But it's okay if it leaks out. It's insane.
It is absolutely insane. You know, and I said when we look at you and when we're talking to you about that and I'm watching, you know, the leak just sort of going, it's quite slow, which is fortunate for you, but it's, you know, it's something that you would want to, you know, address before it permeates any further in your body. Yeah.
It's quite, it's a physical thing. It's not just silicone, but it's chemicals.
Yeah,
a lot
that's
of neurotoxins and carcinogens in the in the data that was produced in the Dow Corning trials.
Yeah, I read a bit about that. But,
yeah.
You know, what you will find, if this continues, it's probably already happening, is that the muscles around the area where the leak is the worst are not actually functioning as well as they could. So you're going to get
No, I've got muscle spasms. I mean,
that's one of the things
I was using the Mediterranean energy to help was this big spasm I have in my left trap that gets worse when I operate.
Yes. I'm actually just dropping some energy in now for you into there, and that should hopefully loosen that up. But, you know, basically the muscle spasm through there is holding the poison in that same area. So, you know, you're getting like a rebound illness.
You know, now that you've seen this, you may be able to recognize it in some of your clients coming in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to see it once is to recognize it, as you know.
Certainly.
It's not natural. Okay.
No, it's not.
And not everybody would tell you that they have breast implants.
Yeah, oh, well, the breast implants, I've had quite a few clients. I actually had a client who, I think, was up to her third or fourth lot of implants. She they kept getting damaged and she kept changing them. But leaking is not something that I have actually dealt with before.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, actually. It's quite an interesting energy.
Well, now that you know about it, I bet more people will be brought to you.
Yeah.
Do you know how that works? You said it in your book, you know, like you'd see a series of people with the same problem or whatever. It's really spirit or consciousness teaching you about it.
Yeah, well, what you do, it's quite, it's very interesting. You know, you'll get a day or a week where people come in with the same condition over and over and over again. You know, and it's quite funny, actually. Not in a terrifically laughing way, but funny as in an amusing way. But spirit definitely brings people to me for me to learn. I'm sure I'll get a series of people.
I have a favor to ask of you before you give your contact information.
Yeah.
I want to give you I think you have it already because we've been communicating by email. But you have my email or my assistant's email, and she can give you my email. I want you to, through your experiences that are going to come to you, I want you to play around with what we can do to remove the chemicals and the silicone other than physical methods, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you can communicate that to me, it's very, very important because I need to use all of the resources in consciousness to help the women who have leaking silicone. Because this is a real severe problem. It ends up coming out through their skin. It ends up going to all their organs, and it kills many of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see that because it's so fine. Like, it looks like the particles of the silicone are fine enough to get passed through pretty much any barrier that is put up.
Right.
Yeah.
We need some answers that are not... The physical ways of getting it out are limited.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the dense, sticky stuff that's in the lymphatics. You see it in me, and I've done lots of detox. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't see that detox will actually work because it's not encapsulated and it becomes, you know, a micro infector.
Right.
It
becomes infected too, inflamed. Yeah, it does. Well, would you like to give your contact information in case anybody needs to contact you for any reason?
Certainly. The best way to contact me, particularly from overseas, is through my website, which is www.carmelbell.com.au because we're in Australia, so carmelbell.com.au or info@carmelbell.com.au will always get an email to me. And on my website there's listed my assistant's contact number, so a Bevelcan phone. But again, if you're calling from overseas, because there's such a time difference, it's unlikely that my assistant will be up at 3 o'clock in the morning and answering the phone. So best if they send an email or go straight to the website. It's very easy.
And Carmel is Carmel.
That's right, Carmel, Bell, B-E-L-L.
So we've been pleased to have with us Carmel Bell, a medical intuitive who wrote a book, When All Else Fails, A Journey into the Heart with Medical Intuition and Metatronic Energy. And next week we are going to be interviewing Bernard Harsh, The Purpose Guided Universe, Believing in Einstein, Darwin, and God. And then the next week, Catherine Frumovich, Our Chemical Lives and the Hijacking of Our DNA. And then Stephanie Marone will be back. Stephanie is the editor of Goddess Shift, Women Leading for a Change. It's a book of 42 female leaders, including myself, Oprah, Michelle Obama, Barbara Walters, Angelina Jolie, Madonna, et cetera, on that. But we're interviewing Stephanie this time on her book, Natural Medicine First Aid Remedies. And we have the Community Health Source newsletter. October's is out. You can have that emailed to you by calling 770-457-4677. In it are our events. We're going to be having several events in November and December, Plastico's Enhance Your Beauty Parties. The dates are in there. And then we have an energy expert and medical intuitive, Ed Edwards, who is at the clinic now on Wednesdays, giving the Noetic Science on Thursday, the 21st of October at 7:15 to about 9 at the Dunwoody office. He's going to be talking about the energy field that you can access for healing, health, and information, and he is going to be doing demonstrations of the energy field. Anyway, thank you very much, Carmel. I really appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
And I really thank you for showing the implant companies that even a medical intuitive in Australia can see that I still have silicone in my system. How's that?
Yes.
Maybe okay. They'll believe you, but probably they'll believe in medical intuition. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, I think so, definitely.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, and thanks so much for getting up at 3 in the morning. That's great.
No problem. Thanks, Susan. Have a great day.
Susan Call with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.